Kisu Grissom, Kisu Kukit, Kisu Quiet, Kapiniskus. Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Kanchuke Tesmiet, also known as Peter White, Peter Not So White. And I come to you from the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Squamish, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Musqueam people. So thank you for allowing me to be a guest, to play, to live, to learn on your lands, to create this podcast on your lands as well. And this week, I kind of want to touch on a subject that is so easy for a lot of people to do, especially with social media. And I heard this story once, and it's a really good story. It talks about our minds, and it talks about how our minds are gardens. Everyone's mind is a garden. And if you know anything about gardens, then you know that it takes work, it takes commitment, it takes dedication and love to grow flowers, you know, plants, food, whatever, right? Whatever you want to grow that's going to flourish your garden, you need to work on. But there's always those weeds, you know, the dandelions and all such sort of things that people call weeds, that just grow on their own, no matter what. They're just, if you don't take care of your garden and pluck all the weeds out, eventually those weeds will overtake your garden, your the thing that you took all that time, that energy, that love, that commitment on. It'll be taken over by all those weeds. And with social media, it is so much easier to feed your algorithm in the way you want it to be fed. And that's what social media is there for. It's to keep us distracted the longest. Every app focuses their time, their energy, their money, their resources to keep us on that app longer and longer and longer. It's just how social media is built. And if you feed your algorithms in a certain way, that's all you end up seeing as that thing. So, you know, it's so much easier for someone to sit back and complain. You know, and I've been there too. So I'm not stating that I'm perfect. I'm not stating I'm better than anyone else. I'm going to be honest. You know, I've been there too, where I just sat there and complained before. And sitting there and complaining, anyone can do. No matter, it's just the easiest thing to do. It's like those weeds in that garden. They're going to grow. They're going to manifest no matter what, right? And that's how our thoughts are. Negative thoughts will manifest very easily. Complaining, they're just, it's how society has molded us and formed us through fear, through the news, through, you know, just things like that and sort. And yes, it feels good to complain. Yes, it feels good to sit there and just bicker and argue about things. But you know what even feels better? Is coming up with a solution. So whatever you're complaining about doesn't need to be complained about anymore, you know? And that is where the real growth and the true, you know, happiness comes from. When you can come up with a solution that makes the situation better than it was, then it's a win for everyone. It's a win for that person that's getting that that feedback on. And it's not more complaining so, because it's constructive feedback. When you can help create a solution, that's when it becomes that constructive feedback, not just bickering and arguing and just complaining. What most people do. Most people will just complain and never come up with a solution to help fix that thing. And even of recently with life events in my own, you know, I've said things on comments to people, and I've actually even brought up discussion and manners in our own community. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy to bring up these things. And I could just sit there and can complain about events that have happened or that are going to happen and do nothing about it. I could just sit there and be a negative person and argue and just, you know, instead of coming up with solutions to fix that, to, you know, to resolve that situation. And it's with the things that we do after that, of us speaking out, that allows us to grow as well. And it also allows us not to speak so quickly out of emotions. And I can tell you what happened recently in the community. What's going on with me currently, actually, and not only myself, but other people in the community. But some of you know that, you know, Pretendians and people pretending to be Indigenous people and these people taking jobs away from from Indigenous people is a topic. And it's a topic not everyone wants to talk about. And it's a topic that some people kind of just ignore. But when we ignore things, eventually they'll bottle up and you just explode and you can't take it anymore. And I don't like controversy. I honestly do not like controversy as much as the things I post. It may seem like I like controversy. I don't. You know, I don't think anyone likes controversy. But the hardest discussions that... Well, let's rephrase that. Some of the discussions that are hard to do, some of the hardest discussions you'll ever have, are some of the best and most needed conversations that have to happen in order for that change to go on. And the whole Pretendian situation, some people have called myself and other people bullies. And it's not, because our ancestors fought with their whole lives for us to be here today. You know, my ancestors gave up their lives fighting with other people and other Indigenous peoples throughout Turtle Island. They gave up their lives fighting for our traditions, for our languages, for our rights to be seen, to be heard, to be able to be a male and have long hair, you know, to be able to speak my language to other people, to be able to suit up in my regalia and wear it in public spaces or wherever, you know, that medicine is needed, you know, for me to put on my regalia and go and dance in spaces. My ancestors fought for those things. And often I'll tell myself, you know, your ancestors did. They fought for us, so we had these rights. And if we just sit back and lay down and allow things to happen, then their fighting was for nothing. It was pointless of them fighting. And with reconciliation, it's about having spaces that we weren't allowed in. It's holding spaces that our ancestors were denied. It's having these spaces and opportunities that our ancestors were never, you know, they never dreamed of having. And with recent events, there's this community powwow that's happening here in Vancouver in the Lower Mainland. And it falls on Mother's Day, so they call it Mother's Day powwow. And the committee, from what I've seen after I've reached out to them, they're not very well informed on the traditions and actually where powwow has come from, where it's evolved from. You know, powwow doesn't come from every tribe on Turtle Island. You know, it comes from the plains and the prairies. And there's many stories of where it comes from. And, you know, the stories that I've heard and I've read, it comes from a war dance from the Sioux people. And there was a dance society, like almost like a grass dance society, where these warriors would have these bustles, basically. But they were a drop-style bustle. And there'd be warriors in their society, and they would upkeep and hold things in their communities. And these warriors would also go to war. When they would go to war or battle or hunt, they would wear these things. And it allowed them to be able to maneuver and all these things. And then they would come back and dance in that victory, that celebration. And there were certain ways and certain songs that were sung that were danced. And, you know, it's been adopted by many indigenous communities all over Turtle Island, which is amazing, you know, which is great. It's a way of connecting people. It's a way of celebrating life. It's a way of bringing communities together. But there's still protocols and ways and things like that. And in one matter that is happening here is they have hired a non-indigenous person to basically run the whole powwow. And there are certain roles and things that powwows need for them to happen. You know, you have your master of ceremonies, your MC, you know, the person that's the voice of everyone that kind of talks and lets people know what's going on. And, you know, they're just there to voice, you know, what the people want, the committee, they're just a voice. You know, they tell jokes, they keep people entertained, they're really good people, their knowledge, they have a lot of knowledge and experience with these things and powwows. And then there's what is called either a whip man, which is a part of that society, that whip society, that old war dance ways, which is passed down differently. Sometimes it's passed down through family, through lineage, through, you know, ceremonies, but not everyone can have that title. You know, it's just given to certain people. And that's what my grandpa was. I remember him when I was younger. I just remember when I was at powwows, he would just have this different energy about him. You know, it was not so much of a frightful fearing, like a frightful energy, like you had to fear him, but it was more of like a warrior, like a fierce, strong presence with him when he was there. And that was that society that he was a part of. And then you have your arena directors, which most powwows have nowadays, because that whip society is so small. An arena director, they run the whole powwow. They say everything. Everything that goes on within that circle is their decision, their ways. You know, the things that they've been taught or learned through either ceremony or things like that are being kind of apprenticed by someone who has that knowledge. And any of these positions in a powwow are meant for indigenous peoples. But this community, this committee from this powwow, have decided to hire a non-Indigenous person to work in these roles. And for any powwow now, these positions are paid. You know, the arena director is paid, the MC is paid, because they're there basically. It's almost like a job, because you're there the whole powwow. You're working before the powwow starts. You're finding your flag carriers, you're doing all these things, you're getting elders to come say opening prayers, you're helping with the peace pipe ceremony, you're helping with the flag raising ceremonies, you're doing a lot of things. And even after the powwow ends, the work isn't done, because you still got to make sure the Eagle staff and all the flags are taken care of, and it's a big role. And same thing with the master of ceremonies, the MC. You're there before the powwow, you're talking, you're teaching people teachings, and you're there and you're just sharing your knowledge and your laughter and your good medicine with people. So these roles are always paid now, which is good, because you know you put a lot of time and energy into these spaces. And they hired a non-Indigenous person. And when I saw that, in my gut, it didn't feel right. You know, it didn't sit right with me. So I spoke up. Well, I spoke up and I said something on the poster, and other people in the community kind of saw this, and they started to comment as well. And people were saying, what's going on? Like, that's not right. You can't do that. And this was after, a younger Indigenous person was actually asked to do this job, and then they turned him down. You know, that kind of was like, what the heck? Like, hold the phone. Like, hold up. Like, you do all these things that's not right. And I question them. And people are trying to say that are related to this man. The people that are related to this man are Indigenous. You know, he's married into an Indigenous family. But yet these people were slandering other non-Indigenous people for taking roles that weren't meant for them and were meant for Indigenous people. You know, it has to be clear across the field. And so the other night, actually it was last night, I was asked to join the committee and discuss this, to bring this thing up. And it's, if you've ever been in confrontations before, for most people, it's not easy to voice how they feel. You know, most people will just not say a thing. They'll just kind of shut up and put their head down. But I don't, and I didn't. And I voiced my opinion, and it basically fell on deaf ears. Even though I took the time out of my day to address this, you know, I was putting forth a solution, so I brought up some names who were actually Indigenous. I said, why don't you hire that Indigenous youth that was asked before? You know, I was bringing up solutions with it. I wasn't just going there to complain, just to complain. I went there for a reason, to resolve this, to try to figure a solution out. But it just fell on deaf ears. And it got to the point where I didn't even feel heard. So I just basically hung up on the Zoom and left, which is a statement in itself. You know, that just shows that what I'm talking about, I truly care about. I'm not just saying something to complain, because I'm not like that. I'm not a person who just complains to complain. I would rather complain and find a solution. I would rather have that constructive criticism. Let's not call it complaining, because complaining, we've dealt with that and we've understood that it's just harping and bitching and moaning just to hear our own voices. Constructive criticism is coming up with a solution to fix it, to move on with a better future, to make everyone feel better about it. And anything can go on in your life as well where you want to complain. Trust me, the weeds in your mind will flourish no matter what. you're going to have a spot where you want to complain about something, but just remind yourself, hey, if I'm not bringing up a solution with this, what is my ultimate outcome for me complaining? You know, is it even worth it? Or am I just wasting energy and time on these things? And that's a good question you can ask yourself when you're about to speak. You know, sometimes when I'm about to say things or do things, or I know when that anger arises in me now. And I don't allow myself to act on that. And I don't come off on a hateful way, and I don't come off on a way where I'm trying to not encourage people to become the best versions of themselves. But I'm also trying to come up with solutions to fix these matters with it. So it's good for growth. That's all I gotta say. So for this week, I challenge you. It's going to be a hard challenge this week to think before you text or type or post or say something. If you know it's a little bit negative, or quote unquote negative, or it's complaining, ask yourself, okay, so how are we going to fix this solution as well? What can we do to make it better than it was before it came into it? What can we do to make it better? Ask yourself that. And that changes the whole narrative of your mission of saying whatever you gotta say or doing whatever you gotta do. So with that, I'm gonna end this podcast. Have a great week. Enjoy the sun if it's sunny wherever you're at. Challenge yourself to ask these questions, be more mindful, and I'll see you next Wednesday. Sukuni for tuning in, dagas, and remember, everything always happens for the right reasons. Take care, all my wealthy warriors.